going to be sharing a conversation that I recorded in Brazil in the context of gatherings of activists and writers and researchers on the margins of the UN Climate Summit, COP, that took place this past fall in the Amazon city of Belém. I spoke with a bookshop owner named Pedro Gama, who has a beautiful independent bookshop in the city called Traversia. We spoke about the ways that climate justice movements are connected to writing and books. There were a number of different events that took place at this location. Importantly, I think Pedro also offers some insight and critique to the ways that communities at the edges of urban centers where such UN climate summits often happen are marginalized from the conversations that take place. So it was really a pleasure to speak with Pedro in Brazil at his bookshop, Traversia. So here is our conversation.
To start, if you could describe where we are.
Okay.
I just wanted to note that the COP took place quite far from the city center, close to the airport.
Yes.
Which I think is revealing in terms of a certain disconnection.
Yes, that's true. I'm Pedro. I'm a teacher. I own a bookshop here in Belém, in the middle of Amazonia. I am a researcher from University of Pará. And right now, I'm just recovering myself from COP. You know, COP is a very big event, and bigger than we expected, actually. Was not so much bigger in terms of people, because we expect more people than they really came, after all. But I think the city sent a message for all the world that we can do it, we can do something like this, even in the middle of Amazonia. We have this amazing festival here. It's a religion festival called Sírio. And Sírio used to have 3 million people around the streets. So COP is basically not a huge thing in terms of people, but it's a huge thing in terms of the subject, in terms of the meaning, in terms of the importance to preserve the world around us, and of course, the way we live. Being an owner of a bookshop during some big event is not just only about selling books. It's about relationships and make connections with people. So we planned 6 months ago to start here in Traversia. Traversia is my bookshop. It's called Traversia. I don't know how can I say this in English, but Traversia is something like when you leave a place and you're going further to a place.
Like in French, it'd be traverser, like in the journey.
I don't think it's about the journey.
Yeah.
Traversia is a kind of journey, actually. Yeah. But it's a very strong and powerful word when you live between rivers. So when you cross a river, you made a traversia. Traversia is a journey about the water, about the mystery of the water, about this, you know, metaphysics things. It's not just about it's not just about
The
physical thing. I think it's more emotional for us. So, on a bookshop in the middle of this big event is a very important and responsible thing to do, because we have here a side to protect, to defend. Here in Traversia, we tend to be more progressive in thoughts and for books. So we just planned for 6 months to become a house of the books that we believe. The authors that we believed. So we made here this amazing event that's called Read Amazonia in Nice Company, because we have this amazing house of edition in Brazil that's called Companhia das Letras. Companhia das Letras, it's like in English, Company of the Letters, or Letters of the, I think Company of the Letters, something like this.
Yeah.
They are a partner of the Penguin Random House as well. So we just receive here a lot of amazing authors that write for this House of Edition, and more than this, that defend the way that we like to exist. More than this, we spent here just 2 days for be a house of POE magazine. Do you know POE magazine? Mm-hmm. It's a very important and strong magazine in Brazil. It talks about politics and sociology and anthropology, and tend to be more critical and more like we believe than the other big journals in Brazil. So I just felt between the COP here that we just could make a lot of good connections, but not just this. I just like to remember how people that are not from Belém, that didn't know Travessia, been amazed, not just with the house, not just amazing with the architecture, but amazed with our archive, with our books, with the subjects that we have here and we believe here. In the beginning of the plan, the Travessia, you supposed to have more than 3,000 books, and now we are getting in something like 23,000 books here. And all the books here are choose by a reason, for some point,
yes. And
more than just for some point, for build the world that we believe. So we talk about gender, we talk about in nonfiction, we talk about gender, we talk about racism, we talk about anthropology in the way to see Amazonia from people. They are from Amazonia, not just only people that are not from here, and then used to speak and research on something like this. And during the COP, we receive here diplomats, we receive here from a lot of places of the world. And just yesterday, on Sunday, the president of COP, Mr. André Lago, was here. And he was really amazing about the diversity of books and spent a lot of money, thank God for this. So I think the importance of the places that used to be like Travessia is not just a place to buy books, but it's a place to be. It's a free zone, and it's a free zone all over the world. It's not just a free zone during the COP. We are here 12 months in a year, you know, seven days in a week, just to defend the subjects, the meaning, the important things that COP used to be and used to save.
So I want to talk to you about that just quickly. So, I mean, also just for people to sort of picture where we are. We're sitting in, the bookshop is between two buildings, and this new space, you also have this sort of event space where I imagine a lot of authors and discussions take place. So just sort of to ground ourselves a bit, climate justice here in Belém is a real subject that touches the city in deep ways. Of course, it's an international discussion, but we're also, I think it's always meaningful to remember a place, like a real place. And, you know, there was a very interesting and strategic decision that Brazil made to push to have the COP here. Yes. So just to sort of zoom out for people who are hearing this, who are less familiar with even the dynamics around the COP, can you talk a little bit about this city and sort of, if you want to share about the importance of the bookshop, but thinking about this city in relation to questions of climate justice?
You know, I love this city. I've been living in two cities forward or from Belém. I live in London for a bit. I live in Paris for a bit. But I just returned to Belém to not just open to a bookshop, but to become a teacher here. And I'm currently a teacher. I'm still teaching. But I think part of love is recognize all the problems. You have to recognize all the problems. And I cannot say that most of the population knows how climate changes affects their lives. I cannot say that.
Okay.
I cannot say that in the city, because we have these terrible problems about education. And, you know, I think we have a word in English for this, but in Portuguese we say it's a kind of environmental racism. Do you know what I mean? Environment racism. So I live in the city that is most of all poor people living without potable water, without a system that still works of health, maybe. But I can say COP is a very important thing. I'm not denying it, but I don't think the COP touched the hearts, the right hearts yet. I think we are after the COP. I cannot see a good horizon, a good path for us. We change a lot of the city. The city is beautiful, the city is clean, but I don't think that all these constructions and improvements and reforms touch the real lives of the city.
For people who don't know about what you're talking about, what are, for you, you mentioned issues with infrastructure, but one thing that comes to my mind is that, like, the outside of the city, a lot of people have migrated from deeper in the Amazon regions to come to the city. This is like a dynamic that's happening. But yeah, talk a little bit more about some of the key issues that this city faces that people outside might not be familiar with.
I think that I think of all these problems that we are talking about, one of the most terrible ones is how we relate with the water.
Water,
yes, because here we have this amazing river, this beautiful river that is most of all polluted with pollutions. Not just pollutions about the trash, but pollutions about, you know, how can I say this in English? I think the right
industrial
word.
Industrial production,
yes,
mining industrial companies.
Yes, we have this small village just around Belém called Barcarena. They have this big, this huge company working there. And how can I say this in English in the right words? This big company that used to take iron off the soil and something like this, and just not just pollute the river, not just affect the life of the population around it, but fake it all the time. Fake it that doesn't mean it. You know, we have just here 2 hours from Belém by boat. It's a city called Barcarena. Barcarena has Hydro e Albras, huge companies that are not environmentally friendly, if I can say, if you know what I mean. So I think the biggest problems of the city is the people they are affecting, their lives affected by this kind of thing, are moving to the city, are moving to the middle of the city, but actually not the middle of the city, but moving to the places that we stand, you can build a house.
Yeah, like informal housing.
Informal housing. Yeah. So I don't think COP touched the right hearts about this deep thing. You know, it's a very deep thing. My family moved from Marajó to Belém. My grandfather used to be a boatman. So he has this boat that used to cross the rivers to selling and changing things, you know, to get money. And my half of my family are in this, how can I say this, in this region of the city that is next to the river, but it's a bad place in the city. How can I say this in English?
It's an urban poor neighborhood.
Yes, it's an urban poor. It's a poor neighborhood, but I think I have a better word for this. In Brazil, in Portuguese, we call periferia.
Yeah, it's like the outskirts, the areas of a city that are less supported by the infrastructure.
Yes, and most of all, these neighborhoods were built by workers and boatmen. They don't have money to live in the city center. We still have these problems around the city. Mobility is a very huge thing in Belém, not just about environment, but how do people live here. And I think a bookshop is a way to remember to the city that being useful is not enough. You have to reach more. You have to know more, know well. So every event that happens here are free. We don't charge anything about the events. We don't charge here, just about the books. If you want to buy a book, we charge you. But if you don't want, you don't worry about. You can be here. You can listen to the conversations. You can be a part of an event, and we don't charge you. But when I think about how can a bookshop, you know, transform a city, become a city better, I think with a lot of actions around not just the books, but the connections of the people. You know, we are talking here about connections in people. We just spent 15 days, more than this actually, 20 days just talking about the environment, but not just about the environment. How environment can you know, affect gender issues, can affect racism issues, how you live your life, how you live your city, and everything that we talk about here with these amazing authors, amazing researchers, is free for society. So I think nowadays bookshops in a city like Belém, it's a huge city with a lot of problems, is not just important to sell books. It's important, most of all, to make connections and, you know, to meet people all the time. I think we can do our job like this all the time. We just spent this amazing campaign to, how can I say this? We're not selling books, we are giving books. Giving books for these free libraries around the city, in these poor neighborhoods. And we are trying to make our job in this path. But I cannot say that I'm very, how can I say this, hopeful after COP. Because I was expecting a little bit more of our leaders, if you know what I mean.
What do you mean?
I mean the North Pole of the world, the North countries of the world are not worried like us. We are just discussing right now. We are in the left-wing government. We are in Brazil. We are with Lula, but even Lula had authorized to explore oil just nearby here when we are in the gates of Amazonia, you know, in the place when the Amazon River became the ocean. I'm not so hopeful right now about it, you know.
Well, you know, one thing I think about when you're speaking, which I think is always important to underline, is how social movements happen. Right. Yes. And I think there's many actors and contexts to social movements, you know, which are not just the actions themselves, but there's all the context, you know. So, for example, you know, media reports. I mean, we're in a bookshop. I'm here with my family. You know, this is it's a beautiful social space. So I'm happy to be talking with you here. So thank you. But there's the focus on the actions, right? So, and that's important, right? Like the Belém action mechanism was all the discussion around COP, BAM, you know, which was about a just transition. But there's all that work that happens in between actions, right? And I think you understand this very well, because you talked about relationships. It's the social fabric that creates a dynamic where social movements can exist, right? Yes. It's that social fabric and that context of not just relations, but you know, building and constructing ideas. Yes. That is so essential, right? And that's why we see an authoritarian context. Why are cultural centers, bookshops, community radio stations, yes, attacked, shut down, right? Yes. And I mean, I'm thinking about this in the context of the previous two COPs, which took place in the United Arab Emirates,
yes,
and Azerbaijan, which, of course, both of those places, I mean, to pay respect, there's beautiful activists and artists in those spaces. We have to acknowledge that. But from the government context, right, you have an authoritarian context, right, where in the Brazilian context, these spaces have made up and created a context where social change has taken place to a degree in Brazil. Of course, you talked critically about Lula's policies, right?
Actually, just one policy. If you know what I mean, I'm a huge fan of Lula since I was a child. My family is a left-wing family, but I just had the opportunity during the COP to sell some books to Lula. And it was an amazing opportunity. Actually, I sent 3 books. One of them, it's called, in English, it will be Amazonia, Colony of Brazil, from the teacher Violeta Loureiro. Violeta Loureiro is a very important researcher here in Amazonia. She actually just founded this place called Naya from the university, the Federal University. Naya, it's the high level of the Amazonian studies here in the Amazonia. So she founded, that place. She based that place. And this book talks about not only how Portugal, how the Dutch people, how the French people tried to colonize Amazonia, but how after all of this, all the parts of Brazil are nowadays still trying to colonize Amazonia. We are still trying to make profits, still trying to make money all the time. So I just give you an example about Barcarena just around here with Hydro and Albras. Two huge companies from Norway that are trying to, you know, explore the metals that we have here, these commodities that we have here for money. So Amazonia, a colony of Brazil, is a very strong book. Talks about a lot of the dictatorship that we lived from the 60s to the 80s, and how Amazonia was a kind of lab from this government all the time. It's a very strong and nice book. And I was just, I think a lot of things that we just showed up during the COP supposed to be new from people that are not from here. But for us, it's actually a little bit exhaustion to talk about these same things for a long, long time. You know, I'm a researcher since I was 16. Now I'm trying to make my research about the bookshops in the history of the city, in the history of the urbanization of the city. I'm very proud of my research right now, but but more than this, I was trying to realize how can we do, you know, it's a tragic but pragmatic things to impact the real lives, the lives that we are outside from the blue zone right now. I can give an example. You have the blue zone, the green zone, like
the COP.
You know, 100 or 200 meters from there, you have this huge poor neighborhood with no potable water. People there are most of all black people, so you have this environmental racism all the time. Just, you know, 200 or maybe 300 meters from the center of the discussions during the COP. And these lives were not parted of the COP. So I'm not against the COP. I love it. It was really amazing. But I'm a privileged man. You know, I'm white. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm a teacher. I have high-level education. But I'm just touched about the other people's lives, like the lives from my grandma neighbors, you know. There, if you have you been in the rain in Belém anytime, when rain, it seems like the world is going to end. We have this strong rainforest here, and since the beginning of the city, we have problems around it. Every year we have problems around it, and the city center and the mall, you know, the city hall actually,
yeah.
They don't care. They actually don't care. We have four or five maybe past governments of Berlin was promising, expecting to change anything, to make good improves, to, you know, rebuild reformations, whatever. They didn't.
Also, you know, just the point I would say is that the direct action intervention of indigenous people at the COP gates was quite significant.
Yes, was pretty strong. Yeah. Actually, here I've been in just two events around COP that I was not paid for to do it. I've been to listen to David Kopenawa. David Kopenawa is one of the brilliant minds in the world. When I read his book with Bruce Albert, it just imploded my mind. David Kopenawa is from Amazonia.
Okay.
Was really strong. You know, we have this book, it's called, it's something like an etymology around the Yanomami's dreams. Yeah, and the dreams from the Yanomami people are not just a part of this metaphysics life are part of the collective life. Yeah. So when I just heard for the first time the Vico Penawa, I just realized if you can learn something about the end of the world with someone, is with this guy, because all world, all kind of living are, you know, getting ruptured right now, bankrupted right now. We are in this very terrible path, and this guy know how can survive and rebuild a life in another different, totally different way to be. So I thought we cannot you cannot make a cop in Belém, in the in this huge city, and then expect an invasion and a protest or anything about indigenous people. If they are not in the table, this have to be corrected. They must be in the table.
That was a conversation with Pedro Gama, recorded in Brazil at the margins of the UN Climate Summit this past fall. I think it's an interesting, insightful conversation to look at the ways that alternative spaces like bookshops can play an important role to the body and the substance of discussions and movements for climate justice at the margins of such gatherings like the UN Climate Summit. This has been another edition of Free City Radio. I'm Stefan Christoph. Thanks for tuning in. You can hear us weekly on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal on Wednesdays at 11 a.m., on CGLO 1690 a.m. also in Montreal on Thursdays at 8 a.m., on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg on Tuesdays at 8 a.m. and Fridays at 1:30 p.m., on CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston on Wednesdays at 11:30 a.m., on CFUV 101.9 FM in Victoria on Saturdays at 7 a.m., on Met Radio 1280 a.m. in Toronto on Fridays at 5:30 a.m., on CKCU 93.1 FM in Ottawa on Tuesdays at 2 p.m., on CJSF 90.1 FM in Vancouver on Tuesdays at 4 p.m., and on CHMA 106.9 FM in Sackville, New Brunswick on Tuesdays at 10 a.m. You can find our archives at soundcloud.com/freecityradio. Also look us up. We're a podcast. Just search Free City Radio. I'm Stefan Christoph. Thanks so much for tuning in, and I'll speak to you next week.
You're listening to CGSF 90.1 in Burnaby, British Columbia.